let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Deep Dive into Scripture. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm in the studio today with Father John, as always.
Hey there, Danny. I thought that we would double up a little bit on this podcast with the previous one where we talked about Joseph being enlightened.
Yes.
And using that word enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's a general word that's kicked around throughout our whole culture, especially with New Agey, and so a lot of people get, what's he talking about, right?
Right. So I was looking at this post, and I thought to myself, this one is a little different, because you're kind of not just focusing on the fact that he had this enlightenment, he was in the midst of that, but you're kind of comparing that to the guys that were standing around Pharaoh.
Right.
Who were the magicians.
Yeah,
and sort of the difference.
I remember, didn't I refer to that animated movie from, back in the 1990s or what, where Prince of Egypt type thing, and the magicians look absolutely completely silly and goofy.
Yes, yes.
Well, I'll tell you what, in truth, they were not silly and goofy, okay?
Yeah. They were in that movie, though, but I think that was just a way to make them look. It's a Disney thing, you know?
Yeah, right. They were comic relief through the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
But they were not comic relief in reality, right?
Right.
And so I'm going to back up a little bit because I came out of a Protestant background, okay? And the Protestant world basically is part of a trajectory of Western thought that really, really is rationalistic in many ways.
Okay.
I've been reading a little bit of Samuel Johnson in the 18th century, and he's saying, I'm just too rationalistic to embrace Catholicism.
Okay.
I thought that was interesting.
That's interesting, but tell me more about that word, rationalistic.
Well,
what do you mean exactly by that?
Yeah. Well, we've got all these things inside of our heads, right?
Yeah.
These gifts we have and reason and logic. Okay. Don't give me a whole lot of things I can't understand or cannot be supported by rational thought.
Okay.
It actually starts out in the Middle Ages with Occam and Occam's razor, okay?
Oh, sure.
And what the razor is that you really keep on slicing the reality down to its simplest forms,
okay.
Right?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And so anything that's complicated, anything that's messy, we don't like.
Okay.
Okay, that's a very general way of talking. But Protestantism and what I've come out of has been really, really deeply influenced by this.
Okay. But it's kind of, that's kind of interesting because it's different than this whole time in Genesis, we've been talking about how important and how good the problems are.
That's right.
Because it makes you focus and it makes you think more about what's happening in the story.
Well, right. And it forces you to be shaped by the story rather than you shaping the story with your preconceived ideas and rationalistic frameworks.
Right. Okay. So that's really a different
Different way of looking. And we talk about allegory. When we get into Exodus, we're going to talk a whole lot about allegory and how the church embraces allegory, because allegory lifts us above, in a way, the historical, grammatical, just give me the facts.
Yes.
Yeah, right type thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because life cannot be reduced down to facts that your reason can, and certainly God can't,
no,
right?
Absolutely.
Right. And, even my hero, C.S. Lewis, so influential and so Catholic in so many ways, okay? Mm-hmm. He could never, like Samuel Johnson, I think Samuel Johnson and C.S. Lewis, two different centuries, are just so, they're great apologists for Christianity. They're, you know, they believe in Jesus and they apply their mighty intellects and imagination. I mean, C.S. Lewis teaches Protestants, hey, you can have an imagination,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Right. But there is that rationalistic streak in Lewis that could never go over the fence to where Tolkien was with his Catholicism.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
Okay. So this whole idea of mystery and reason, mystery is a scary thing and it has been, you know, for me growing up, I mean, in the circles that I were in. And that's why I've always been drawn to mystery. Right. And that's always made me some sort of a square trying to get through a round hole.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so I'm not afraid of mystery. I'm not afraid of enlightenment. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid of the messy. Right.
Right. Yeah.
and Catholicism, I mean, I got this book. Ronald Knox is a great Catholic apologist and thinker who wrote letters back and forth with Lewis.
Okay.
You know? But Ronald Knox, as a Catholic, looked to miracles, right? Marian apparitions, all these sort of things that Lewis is just kind of like makes his head swim, okay?
Right. You know? He just looks out and looks the other way, yeah.
Right. So we need to talk a little bit about this whole thing, mm-hmm. right?
So like, enlightenment, mysticism.
Yeah.
This quote-unquote magic. Kind
right,
of.
Right. You know, and I think to the degree that the Catholic Church has bought in the West, this enlightenment, and therefore a lot of people just go through the motions of the mysteries of the Mass and all the mysteries of the saints, all this sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
Because they're kind of bipolar. Is that a good word for it? I don't know.
Maybe.
There's part of us that are Catholic. Part of us is still has eaten into, you know, not eaten into, but has bought into this reason. Do I really believe that the Eucharist is the body and blood of Christ type thing? I mean, that's sheer mystery, right?
Right, right. That's one thing. It's totally faith-based, and you'll never be able to, I will never be able to understand it.
Well, again, these are deep mysteries that your mind isn't able to, you know, the whole doctrine of transubstantiation doesn't prove that the Eucharist is the body and blood of Christ.
Right.
It's there as a doctrine to protect the mystery.
Yes. Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Got it.
So we're not afraid of ministry, mystery here, okay? But when you're talking about the mysterious world, there are some, you know, connections then with the dark side of this whole thing. Everything's got a bright side and a dark side. Mm. They share the same language sometimes because when you're talking about the preternatural, there is power in the dark side of this whole thing.
Yeah, right.
There's real power. I mean, Egypt, they were famous, okay, from before history was even written, of building a spiritual edifice to give power. I mean, power is everything when it comes to magic.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, power is everything that goes into enlightenment in our society. Now, in our society, there are a lot of people who have rejected the rationalism that is part of our Western thought. Actually, the great romantic era of the 19th century was a rejection of the rationalism of the 18th century.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Because they said, you know, this is not satisfying.
Right.
I'm not a mathematician, not a scientist. I don't teach, logic. And, so the romantics, I mean, Byron, Keats, and Shelley, these great poets, on every level, they said, that's dead. You know, I want something alive, right?
Yeah.
And so a lot of mystery started coming back into the culture through mm-hmm. that, through magic. The 19th century was really, really filled with seances and everything that you can imagine, tarot cards, the whole thing. And of course, that's really hit the U.S. big time.
Right now. Yeah,
since the 60s and so-called New Age. It's really an old age thing. That's mm-hmm. what it really is.
Yeah.
Okay. It's power, and people don't feel empowered today. They don't. And there's this sort of sloppy mysticism out there. And sloppy by means that, you know, in the church, you have to work. Okay. You have to study. You have to pray. And it's not to get power, but to become small.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargle. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
In the church, you have to work. Okay, you have to study. You have to pray. And it's not to get power, but to become small. It's a wonderful thing to be small.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
It really is. It's the greatest achievement a human being can ever be. And Joseph became small.
Yeah.
And he became small. He became a clean conduit for the power of God to flow through him.
Yeah.
And so when we get into Egypt in Exodus in a few weeks, we're going to see this, right?
Yeah, sure.
Where the magicians and Moses are having a huge magical, it seems like a magical fight. This is old 60s movie, you know, it's called The Raven, Boris Karloff. And who was the other guy? Vincent Price.
Vincent Price.
Okay.
Holy cow.
And there's this scene here where they're sitting in these chairs and they're doing these magical back and forth type things of, you know, trying to destroy each other.
You know?
It's very entertaining. But that's not how it is in Exodus. And we'll talk more about that.
Because
it's not magic with regard to God. It's pure divine power.
Mm.
Now, with magic, it's borrowed power. It's preternatural. We don't make light of it, but these guys were really into the dark arts and are scary. And you can't mess around with this stuff, Danny.
Yeah, no, right.
We can't mess around with this stuff.
No, it can get you in trouble and get you moving toward the evil side of
right, and
dark
it always
side.
Comes at a cost.
Mm.
Devils say, okay, I'll give you some power, but it comes at a cost.
Yeah.
Right. And we talked about the Faust story, didn't we?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It's sort of selling your soul.
Right.
You know,
it's the invitation to the evil one, you know, invitation to Satan to come be a part of my life.
Yeah.
And once that invitation is there, he'll step through that door quick.
He's more than willing to comply, right?
Yeah, right.
And then what he does is that when he uses you up, he'll just discard and throw you aside.
Move on to the next.
He's full of hatred.
Yeah.
Right? Full of hatred.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he sees a godly person. He really wants to feed on that person. That's what they are. Demons are like vampires. They suck the life out of you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And then when they're done with you, they just throw you aside, right?
Yeah.
But in the meantime, the lies that are there that I can take care of this for you. How mm-hmm. badly do you want it?
Right.
You
know? And I think what you started to say before about people feeling powerless in a lot of different areas of their life, you know, in family life, it's really hard.
Right.
You got young kids. All you feel like you're doing is just working to try and make it through another day. And that's a real feeling of powerlessness. I mean, I remember that really well,
just being
very tired.
Yeah.
And so people are looking for some way, something that will help them feel more powerful, I think. And this new age stuff, this little
right.
steps into mysticism, all of that comes
it's
because of that.
It's very seductive.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And the church has got to do a better job of capturing the imagination of our people
mm-hmm.
and say, hey, you know, God wants you to be great. That's the great name motif that we've talked about. He wants to encounter you. And when you encounter God, you know, you're elevated and you know.
There's a power in that.
Oh, wow. And it's all God's power. You
right.
see, it's not, look at me. It's
well,
you
and that,
lose all sense of wanting to have any kind of look at me type thing.
Yeah. And that's something that you really said in the post on ancienthopes.org was in this post, you said that Joseph was not, he's the opposite of doing this for his own power.
Right.
And the magicians were all about doing
that. That's right.
You know, to be seen as something more powerful, be seen as something better.
Right, right. And here we can compare Joseph with Daniel. I just love this whole thing, okay? Listen to this. Mm-hmm. Daniel achieved the auspicious title of Dean of Magicians over all the wise in Babylon.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you imagine this? Okay. And he's even called the chief sorcerer.
Yeah.
God's prophet Daniel with these titles.
I meant to go look this up and I forgot to do it when I read this in the post.
Right.
I need to go read this again.
And the word for sorcerer is the very same one used for Joseph in our story.
Right. Yeah. Gosh. Amazing.
Wow. Wouldn't you love that title, Danny?
Yeah. No. I couldn't do anything.
I mean, can you imagine him presiding over such an infernal collection comprising wizards, warlocks, soothsayers, mediums, and God knows what else.
Right, I know. It's an amazing image.
It really is. Yeah, but that just shows the Bible's comfortable with this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wouldn't even go into a room where there's a seance going on. I mean, right. And that, you know, I shouldn't be there, and it's not a good place to be, right?
Right, right. Sure, of course.
But God has chosen them, these men, to walk because of their purity, because of their selflessness, because they're seeking truth, not power,
right.
That they are able to walk easily in the midst of this very frightening crowd.
Right, without having it really affect them.
Right.
And the opposite thing happens. They show the power of God through what it is that they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. which is very
right.
Amazing.
Yeah, it doesn't deny what they're doing.
Right.
Okay, yeah, the magicians can turn water into blood somehow.
Mm-hmm.
How do they do that? I don't know.
Rods into snakes.
And they could they could do frogs.
Yeah, great.
But they couldn't do gnats, okay.
Just, right. What happened there?
Yeah, right. You know, rods going to snakes, okay. You know, wow, I mean— that's the last thing I would want to do. I don't like snakes at all, especially, right. You know, cobras, and that's probably what they were. Okay,
yep, so probably.
Anyways, we see that true mysticism, as I've said many times, springs from a vital relationship with God, who is the true power.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Preternatural powers of the evil, they're really unbowered power. Okay.
Yes.
Just like evil people, you know, who go out and do evil things. God has given them a power. They have the power of choice. They have the power of strength. They have, you know, the power,
yes,
right?
Yes, right.
But it's borrowed power. Borrowed. Power. Yeah. I can't get my mouth to work right today. And they don't know that, right? And of course, they're going to be accountable for what they do with whatever power they have and it's been given. But, you know, if you're messing around with demons, then you got a price to pay with regard to that, you know? And it's really, it turns out to be the loss of your soul. And nothing good can come out of it.
Right.
Yeah. So you have Joseph walking among these sorcerers. To the untrained eye, to the Egyptians, again, he would say, well, man, this guy, he's the big magician. The big magician. He's, you know, right?
Yeah.
You better watch out for him. And this is going to play into the story. Though, as we go forward,
because the
story always never lets on that, well, how should I say it? This mysterious power, even to his brothers, you know, where does he get this knowledge, right?
Right, yeah.
And so it's not really explained to the Egyptians that the power is really from God,
yeah,
from where they're observing. Man, this man, he's Osiris, you know?
Yes.
I mean, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, he is a god.
Yeah, right, right. But we, the readers, understand.
Yeah.
Right?
We're taking it in the context of everything else that we know.
Right. So how should we end this whole thing? You know, I really do think that we really need to tap into the spiritual. I mean, a lot of what got me into the spiritual life was this nagging problem when I was young about how small I was and what am I going to do with my smallness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you turn to magic or you turn to God?
Right.
Well, you turn to God.
Yeah.
Right? As a young man, or even as a teenager, I'd look and see what's going on with the families and the churches where, you know, you go to work, you get up, go to work, come home, like you were talking about.
Right, right.
Right? And you have to ask the question, there's got to be something more.
Yes.
But there is something more.
Yes,
and it's supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
It's mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is really important, I think, for us to really grasp.
Yep. I think it is foundational. It's a foundational idea that's going to be with us as we move forward, for sure.
Right. And it's Jesus' expectation. I mean, after all, who has done more miracles than Jesus?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So he expects us to do the supernatural because that's the only thing that will survive.
Yeah.
Okay. Only what's done out of love and out of the power of the Holy Spirit, that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Right. Well, of having a life in the Spirit.
Yeah.
That's the
fruit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, I think we probably covered most of it, didn't we?
It's good. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so the understanding is that Joseph is a cool guy, different than all those magicians, because he's got God behind
right.
him. And he's doing it for the right reasons.
Very auspicious individual, right?
Yeah, good. Okay, great. Thanks so much for coming in.
Okay, thank you, Danny.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to AncientHopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.